That indeed is a heartfelt song. We can take everything that we have, doesn't matter what it is, and take it to God in prayer. You know, so often the human mind would think, well, yeah, but if I tell somebody about it, then they're going to realize I'm not as good as I think I am. Or they're worse than, or I'm worse than what they think I might be. Or, well, truth be known, God already knows. He already knows who you are. He knows what you are. He knows the trials, the temptations, all the problems that you're facing. He knows them all. And he just wants you to bring them to him. They don't necessarily get healed up in a heartbeat or real quick. But we do have that assurance that he hears and that we will indeed be healed. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and reading verses 1 through 14. And we'll read those words in Jesus' name. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, again petitioning you, Lord, that you would speak to us, that we as humans would step aside and hear your words, because your words are true, because you are true. So, Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just prior to this chapter, the incident, I guess, if you will, with Peter, when Peter told Christ that I'll never leave you. And I'm sure, there's no question in my mind that Peter was serious. He was very serious. He loved his Lord. And when he said, I will never leave you, I'm thoroughly convinced that he meant every word of it. But you see, Jesus knew better. In verse 36, it says, when Jesus tells him, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Jesus said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you? Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I'm sure it's been preached on many, many different times, and many different thoughts have come from it. But let's look and see what that very first verse of this text says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He was referring, I know, to Peter, and telling his disciples that, hey, just, you know, don't get nervous. You know, this is going to work out, in essence. But he's saying that to us this morning also. How often do we let our heart be troubled? How often do we think about things that are going on in this world and then maybe carry those thoughts further than we ought to? And then you begin to wonder, okay, now what's going to happen now? How is this going to play out? How are this, you know, are those who are causing all the problems, are they going to end up being in charge or whatever the case may be? You know, our mind can just carry these kind of things so far. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And this is what he was telling the disciples and what he's telling us this morning. Don't get all riled and nervous about what's going on. God's plan is unfolding. And it's not going to unfold the way we think it ought to. It's going to unfold in the way that he knows it ought to. There's a big difference. Don't be troubled. Don't be nervous. Believe in God. Believe in what he has done for us. And Christ goes on and saying, believe also in me. Believe what Christ has done for us. Then he carries on. He says, in my house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I know we've heard the description a lot about the mansions and so on, but the focus I want to look at is that very last sentence. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is there. Jesus is going up into heaven to prepare a place for us to reside for eternity. But how is he going to prepare it? Is he going to go up and kind of clean, sweep the floors and paint the house and kind of make it look pretty? No. He's going to die for us. He's going to die for us. And that house or that mansion that he's preparing for us, or that he prepared for us, has been done through his death. Because hell and death could not hold him. And he went into heaven. And that place is now prepared for each and every person who believes. That place is now prepared for all who believe to reside for eternity. That's what he was going to do. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I like what 1 Thessalonians says. I think I read it, was it last week or whenever, a few weeks ago. But verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what he's preparing for us. Where our Savior is, there we will be also. That's his promise to us. All of these things are to strengthen us. All of these things are to prepare us for when the trouble times come, and they do come from time to time throughout our lives. But he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. He's not talking about when he comes after his death. the first time. When he died on the cross, he came back and arose 3 days later. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, I will come again that last day in glorious fashion. I will come and I will receive you unto myself. Not going to be anybody else to do it. It's not going to be anyone else to come down. Well, go down and take care of that guy down there, and go over here and take care of these people in this group. No, I will receive you unto myself. I will come again. Not anybody else. It's Christ who is going to come. And that where I am, there you may be also. Where Jesus is residing on that right hand, we also will be there. And then he says, and where I go, or whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, the Holy Spirit really hadn't been revealed unto the disciples at this point. So how can he make this statement, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know? They know that they need to follow their Savior. They know that they need to follow Christ and believe in him. As he said in that first verse, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. The way is to believe and trust in Christ. That's the way that we have to go even today. And Thomas says, well, he says, Lord, we know not where you're going, and we don't know the way. Jesus had been teaching them the way for the past 3.5 years. And then he just very plainly says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's the only way that we can ever hope to gain eternity is through Christ. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the only way. There is no other way. There's no work that we can do upon this earth that would make us worthy to be in eternity with our Savior. There's nothing that we could physically do as a human being that would earn that right. There's only one thing, and that is believing in what he did for us. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Christ was the Father. Jesus, God. Jesus, the God. He was God. He was with God. He was God. And that's why he says to them in that 9th verse, have I been with you for so long a time and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? You're looking at him. Now, is that in a physical sense? No. I don't mean that by any means. But it's what Jesus taught. The love, the compassion, the instruction, the drawing people out of sin. That's God. That's what God wants. That's who God is. He doesn't want us to be falling. He doesn't want us to walk in such a way that it does not give him glory. He wants us to glorify him all day, every day. And that's why Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you that long for these past 3.5 years and teaching you love, kindness, mercy? That's who God is. That's who he is. If you see me, you're seeing who the Father is. Because I am a reflection of him. And I'm saying that, not scripture, but Christ was a reflection of God. Because he was so perfect. He was so glorious. Then he says, "Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words which, that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Jesus is still glorifying his Father, giving all the credit, giving all the glory and honor to God, taking nothing of himself, because Jesus the man was still upon this earth and he still had a lesson to teach. But utmost, he wanted to make sure that all would understand that God is the one that deserves the glory and honor, not us. There is nothing we can do that would verify or who would allow us to be glorified. So Jesus is telling him, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now that term works, as we know over time, has been, it's been twisted and turned and made all kinds of different areas. But what he's saying here is for the very work's sake. The works that Jesus did upon this earth when he walked were what? They were kindness. They healed the sick. They forgave sins. They spoke lovingly and with compassion. They corrected those who had wrong ideas, but did it in such a way that there was no vengeance. There was nothing really, I'm trying to think of the right word to use here. It wasn't anything that you know, if somebody's mad at us and starts saying something to us in such a way that the first thing that happens to us is the anger rises up. Well, that's what happened with the scribes and Pharisees, because they were being told that, you know, what you're teaching is wrong. But for the most part, everything he did was with love and compassion. And he taught everything with love and compassion. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me because of what you have seen. Believe me for what I have done. Because all the glory that I could have retained for myself, I give to God. Because he's the one that has given it to me. And then he says, "Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, he that believes on me and the works that I do shall he also do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Well, that has kind of mystified me over the years. I certainly haven't done any works that I know of. But here Jesus is saying, he says that he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What does that mean? And greater works than these shall he do. How can anybody do anything greater than what God has done? How can anyone do anything greater than what Jesus did while he was upon this earth? Well, I think the confusion comes in there on that term greater. Because when you look at that in its face value, and when you talk about greater, you talk about something that is bigger, glorious, better than what the other guy did. But he's not talking about that. When he uses that term greater, he's talking about the amount of works that shall be done. You read in the book of Acts in the 5th chapter, when it talks about the disciples going about and causing or doing all these miraculous works, doing all the healing and helping all of the people. There were a lot of them. There was a bunch. And this is what Jesus means when he says, "Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall do, ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son." Anybody that does those works does it with prayer and does it recognizing where the glory is and where the glory so truly belongs. And when he says, whatsoever you shall do in my name, see, it takes the human equation out of it totally. Whatever you shall do, ask, or whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And again, it's giving the honor back where it belongs. It's giving that honor back unto Christ. It's giving that honor back unto God and taking nothing for ourselves. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That particular verse refers to anything that you shall ask in my name is not necessarily physical, earthly, although it can be, but it's recognizing who Christ is and what he has done. Recognizing who is the one, who is the giver of all things. If there is a need and the prayer goes up unto God, God says that the prayers of the righteous are in golden vials, ready to be heard. They're like a vapor. And God listens to them and he hears them. But it has to be done in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot do it of ourselves. We can't just say, well, okay, I need this, and then stop there. Lord, you know what I need. There are proper ways of doing this, and it's what Scripture teaches us, but it's always done in the name of Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name, I ask it. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would do this. Because there is a need. It's not a need for me. It's not a need for me to do anything grand and glorious. As God's children, we recognize needs. And when we pray for them, we pray in Jesus' name. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's not saying that it's going to happen exactly as we think it ought. That's not saying that it's going to happen immediately. But it will happen when it's time. And it will happen in the way that it's going to have the greatest reward. We don't do it because of rewards. We don't do it because of honor for ourselves. We do it because we know that this is what Jesus teaches. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, going back to verse 13, the Father may be glorified. Not us, not Jesus. He just said it. The Father may be glorified. Why? Through what Christ has done. He is our salvation. He is the one that is going to stand with us. He's the one that is going to be there welcoming us when one day we will be able to go into that heavenly home. Anything we do, well, I'm going to be taking a trip next week, Lord willing. I'm going to go do this, Lord willing. Jesus always has to be placed there first before we attempt it. In his name, amen. Father, thank you for your words. And Father, we pray that we would always look to you for the strength, the guidance, and the uplifting that we so desperately need as the days go on. Lord, we pray and we thank you for what you have done. And we pray and ask that you would continue to give to us the strength and the endurance to continue on. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.